Pep Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. Before we get into the real pod, Doug LaMaurice here. Just with a quick interjection, Stephen, Nathan, and I recorded before all the news came out about reported COVID tests for Ohio State. So Friday morning at 10 a.m. is when Ohio State typically releases the availability report for the game on Saturday. So we're expecting at 10 a.m. we'll get some indication of what is happening. And from our reporting and reporting many other places, there certainly seems to be a widespread belief that there are some number of positive COVID cases in the Ohio State team. Also, so far from what we've reported and what we've heard, game's still on track. So this is a preview of the Illinois game without sort of taking any of the who may or may not be available because of COVID into account. Again, you know, we saw on Ohio State's social media account, you know, Justin Fields is out there at practice and Josh Myers is out there at practice. And so, I mean, main thing's Justin Fields. So they have a healthy Justin Fields. Almost anybody else, I don't know that no matter how good an Ohio State player is, would his absence greatly impact the Illinois game. So we have the regular picks preview pod with breaking down Illinois, with talking about how this is supposed to be Michigan week, with talking about the Minnesota-Wisconsin game that's canceled. I think as I'm talking here, 15 games for this weekend around the country postponed or canceled. So we know what we're dealing with. Just want you guys to know where we stand. And then the tech subscribers, as soon as we know anything, we'll get it to you. And you can also read cleveland.com/OSU on Friday. Just keep checking in on Friday. Nathan will be on top of all the news there. We'll certainly be reacting to what news we do have. But still enjoy, sort of regardless, you know, we're talking football on this podcast. But I just want to make sure you guys, you know, aren't expecting some huge COVID update because we want to get you this early Friday so you can get ready for the game. And we know the game probably to some effect, and I guess there's some chance, I don't know, you might be listening to this and there's some chance that the game's off by the time you hear this. That's not my expectation at the moment. That's not what the reporting says at the moment, but we know what the deal is with COVID. So hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Thanks to you guys for bearing with us. We'll bring you the most up-to-date information that we can at cleveland.com/OSU and certainly straight into your phone for our tech subscribers. All right, get ready. I'll give you, you're going to hear the regular intro because you hear my enthusiastic voice. And hey, everybody's excited. So that's coming right now. Thanks for listening to Buckeye Talk. Welcome back to Buckeye Talk, your Friday picks and preview pod for the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Illini Fighting Illinoisians on Saturday at noon. It's about a 30-point spread. We'll talk about that. We're going to make our picks for Ohio State, Illinois, two other Big Ten games that we're going to pick this week. A little other chatter, but both you guys, Doug LaMaurice, Stephen Means, Nathan Baird, both you guys got shafted by the refs last week. I didn't realize when Jeff Brohm was getting it stuck to him, Stephen Means and Nathan Baird were also getting it stuck to them. Both you guys, as a result, went 1-2 last week. I went 3-0. Were either of you guys watching that game on Friday night, Minnesota Purdue? Were you watching it live knowing that your fake money / professional reputations were on the line in that game?
I wasn't watching it really with the betting line in mind. I was watching it just as someone who has to watch Big Ten football games. And also I thought it was going to be kind of an interesting game and it turned out to be one, but I think as much as we got shafted, I think it pales in comparison to how much Purdue got shafted that night. We didn't really talk about it that much on Madness, just how astonishingly bad of a call that was.
Yeah, I wasn't watching either. Well, I wasn't watching because I was watching Jaden Ballard lose his third straight state championship game. And so when I was driving back, I just happened to see everybody's reaction on Twitter.
This is like a 9-day-old discussion at this point. We're right on top of the breaking news here on Buckeye Talk. Was there not a look where the Purdue guy did have his arm extended at some point, and was there like an overhead look, and maybe it was not 0% justifiable? It might have been 20% justifiable.
There was like grainy overhead footage, like still like freeze frames of Pruder film stuff that you could see a guy. He did have his arm out. Now, how much did he push off? How much, like, it's hard to tell. That was, I think, the thing that bothered people the most, was that if you're going to, I don't know, people have different opinions on this, right? It's like, do you swallow the whistle or do you call it that way all the time? But I think actually the people's point was the way that play unfolded in real time, was that same official calling that same contact a flag every single time it happened? And I think the people's argument was like, no, that this is almost an outlier call that you would make at, especially at that stage of the game.
So that was on what would have been a game winning touchdown pass for Purdue. You guys both had Purdue -2.5 over Minnesota. So you took the L's there. Nathan also had Wisconsin -7 over Northwestern for a loss. Steven had the Ohio State giving the points. That was a loss. Nathan won on Ohio State, and Steven won Iowa -2.5 over Penn State, which again, some of these games, I mean, it's like, if you get on the right side of this, for instance, like betting against Penn State, I think has been a very successful thing much of this year. I went 3-0. I had Indiana, I had Northwestern over Wisconsin, and I had Illinois over Nebraska, which, Nathan, I thought for a second that you also had that because we talked about it, but I think you didn't actually pick it. You just kind of agreed with it, the idea that let's take Nebraska's given 15.5 to anybody. So the overall records for the season, Steven, 11-4. I'm 10-5. Nathan, 7-7-1. So we're going to get to our picks. I want to talk a little bit about a game that's not being played, which is Minnesota-Wisconsin. This is the third time that Wisconsin is going to have a game canceled, and by the Big Ten bylaws, basically, unless the rest of the Big Ten season goes wacky and everybody has a bunch of games canceled, this is making Wisconsin ineligible for the Big Ten championship game. They lost two games because of their own COVID tests within their program. Now, this game is because of Minnesota COVID tests. Minnesota is the team that is canceling on Wisconsin. The result is that this is canceling on Wisconsin. Third game they're missing. And the Big Ten said before the year, you got to play at least six to be eligible, six of the eight to be eligible for the Big Ten championship game. Because Wisconsin lost to Northwestern last week, this is less of a big deal because Northwestern now has the tiebreaker edge on Wisconsin. Northwestern would have to lose twice to get Wisconsin back in the mix here. But if Wisconsin had beaten Northwestern last week, and if Wisconsin was feeling like they were a borderline playoff contender, this would be a gigantic deal. Nathan, the idea that the Big Ten came up with this, is this a good rule that, hey, man, you got to play at least six? You can't be putting a team with five games in the Big Ten championship. Does that make sense, sort of regardless how it winds up being executed and put to use? Did it make sense in theory?
And just to clarify, the full rule is it's six unless the average number of games played by every team falls to a certain point. It's two less than whatever that average is. So
this is the catastrophe scenario that the whole season's wackadoo. So nobody could qualify then, but we're not going to have that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, if the average number of games played just fell from 8 to 7, then 5 would be the new minimum. So they wouldn't be that far. But you're right. It's probably not going to end up applying here. I understand why they felt like, I guess, the need to have some kind of a standard. I think what's unfortunate is there's no differentiation between. So this will be the third game Wisconsin has missed. The first two, and I'm hesitant to use this word, but using it just in this context, the first two were their fault. I'm using air quotes there, like their own COVID outbreak caused the cancellation of those first two games. This one, though, is caused by a COVID outbreak at Minnesota. They don't have any control over whether or not they're playing this game on Saturday, and they don't have any other mechanism to make it up unless there's another cancellation within the conference. So that's what I think is tough about the rule, is that it's one thing if you don't manage, again, I hesitate to use the word, I'm not trying to victim shame here, but like if you don't manage it well or you have bad luck and your own COVID outbreak caused you to miss games, that's one thing. But if you're just really unlucky and you happen to keep playing teams that have to cancel games, then I guess that's where that second rule would come in, because at that point it's so widespread that maybe the number of games would drop and you'd be able to qualify with a lesser number. But that's what I think is tough about the rule, is it doesn't have a mechanism to protect teams who aren't having games canceled, that are having games canceled because of other people's problems.
I had said along the way, if, for instance, Ohio State had the Maryland game canceled because of Maryland, and then that last week Indiana would have canceled because of Indiana, and now this week Illinois canceled because of Illinois, let's say, they weren't going to keep Ohio State out of the Big Ten championship game. That, like, I think they would have, like, revisited it and been like, what are we doing? Steven, do you think there should be a differentiation in evaluating this between – what happens in your own program and what happens when you're ready to play and the other team that you're scheduled against can't play.
I do, especially, I mean, when Ohio State's game got canceled, there was also another Big Ten game that got canceled, I believe. So there's right there that would have solved your issue. But I do.
There wasn't another Big Ten game that week that was canceled. Or they would have played them. That was the only Big Ten game canceled.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was a week before. I do think that, because you can only control what parts of this you can control. We're in a pandemic right now. And so they shouldn't penalize you for – they should penalize Wisconsin for the first two because that's on them. This one is not. This one should not in this situation. It shouldn't count against them because it's not their fault. They were ready to play. They did everything they needed to do to be able to play on Saturday. This is on Minnesota, so this shouldn't count towards that number, especially if they were still undefeated.
I don't think they should have done it. I'm not sure why they did. Like, do you think it's invalid if you don't play as many games? Because if you're saying like, well, it's not fair, honestly, if your argument is, well, it's not fair because Wisconsin didn't play as many games as Northwestern. They didn't have as many opportunities to lose. They didn't put themselves on the line. Regardless of whose fault it was, it's not fair for a team with several fewer games to be eligible to play in a championship. If that's your thinking, watch out, because you do not want the college football playoff applying that thinking to Big Ten teams who are playing three or four fewer games than ACC teams or SEC teams. Like, if that is where your theory is coming from, you are on the verge of invalidating your conference's own season, because you're saying there's a threshold of a number of games. And it's not even like, well, you have to, as long as you play half as many, you're saying, hey, you know, you got to play at least two-thirds. I don't know. I thought it was weird because it's kind of out of your control. Even you could argue the outbreak within your own program to some degree is out of your control. And I don't know what percent. It's one of these things. I kind of think that like when if LSU gets COVID, I'm like, well, that's Coach O. Like, I blame LSU. But I don't know that I blame Wisconsin. I don't know that I blame Minnesota. I don't know that I blame Maryland, right? That like, is it? Okay, Ohio State, congratulations. Ohio State deserves credit because Ohio State hasn't had to cancel a game because of its own COVID tests. But does that actually mean that Ohio State's doing a better job than Maryland and Ohio State's doing a better job than Minnesota or Wisconsin? Or do they just get a little luckier? Because they're all applying the same conference protocols. I think within a conference, across conferences, if your conference protocols are different, then I think there's some, whatever, blame or credit for success or lack of success in avoiding the virus. But some of this is just random luck. And I think you could have done something like, listen, if teams are tied with an equal winning percentage, the team that played more games gets the edge, right? Whatever, something like that. But I don't know that there had to be a hard and fast rule. If you don't play this many games, you're out. And I know what you're, you know, yes, there's the catastrophe thing that if everybody's getting whacked, then it's within a range. But maybe you're just one team like Wisconsin that has a specific bad luck. Two of yours, one of the other guy. I think this was overboard with this rule.
Well, two things. Number one, I understand the analogy you're trying to make with the playoff, but one is already set on a subjective standard. One is set on an objective standard. That, you know, advancing to your championship game is supposed to be based on results. The college football playoff is based on the magic of those people in that room. So there's that. The standard is already a little bit different, but I understand the analogy you're trying to make. But number two, I do agree with the other thing you're saying, though, and that's kind of the extension of what I was saying before. I don't know why the limit was so high or so low, however you want to look at it. Like, to only miss two games that could not be your fault, as we've seen, and then to make you ineligible, or three, I guess, would be the thing, was what I guess my problem is with it. It'd be one thing if, like, a team that went 8-0 and a team that went 4-0, but that 4-0 team missed four games because of COVID. How do you compare those? Maybe the second one shouldn't even be eligible, but I think there's a better way to do it. Like you're saying, I think you make it more of a comparison than saying a team is ineligible.
Again, we are on this would have been a huge story. If the game last week goes as expected, and on Madness, we've been talking about Wisconsin as a borderline fourth candidate for the, you know, a candidate for the fourth spot. Would have been a huge story if you really felt like one of the six or seven best teams in the country was now ineligible for its conference championship. Now, the thing is, they're not ineligible to play that weekend. They're still going to play that weekend, right? They'll play in the 2-2 game. they just would be ineligible to play in the championship game, which, by the way, we still know nothing about that weekend, right? Where are the games? When are the games? We don't know. We have no idea, right? Is that correct?
Not that I've heard.
So weird. I thought they would have had a plan by now.
They may have a plan. They just may not have sprinkled it out there to the likes of us.
And I understand part of it's going to be that I think as you go through, once you see what the matchups are, I guess they must be campus games at this point because they haven't announced that they're not campus games. They haven't done the Doug theory of let's play the second place game on Friday night in Indianapolis. That they could have announced by now, I think, if they were going to do that. I don't think they must not be doing that. It must be the championship games in Indy and every other game is going to be a campus game. And so I think they'll probably wait and see what the matchups are to determine who gets the home game. Because you're going to have some teams here, oh, hey, Maryland, you lost a home game. So your matchup's going to be at Maryland. Or, hey, Wisconsin, you lost games. You're going to get them. You know what I mean? Like I would imagine that, but I'd like some clarity on this a little bit. I mean, it's practically here. So that's kind of a big deal that it's happening, but it could have been much more of a big deal. One other thing I wanted to talk about before we got to our picks this week. There are rivalry games being played this weekend. The Iron Bowl is this weekend. Auburn, Alabama is this weekend. The Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Ole Miss is this weekend. The Apple Cup, Washington State was scheduled for this weekend, but has been canceled. The Civil War, I think they changed the name now. Oregon State is this weekend. Cal Stanford is this weekend. This is the week that Michigan, Ohio State should have been played. And as Tony Gerdeman pointed out on Twitter this week, like it was the anniversary in the middle of this week of the 2017 game where JT Barrett got whacked by a camera in the pregame and hurt his knee and then had to come out late in the game and Dwayne Haskins came in. And that kind of gave Dwayne Haskins the leg up on the 2018 competition. And we're going to have anniversaries of Ohio State, Michigan things this week. We had a lot of discussion in the preseason about when Ohio State, Michigan should be played. Some rivalries, and Auburn, Alabama is the second best one. They kept it on Thanksgiving. They didn't keep it at the end of the year. Now that we're here and now that it's Thanksgiving week and now that we do see games being canceled, right? It's not an avalanche of games, but there's several every week. Cincinnati Temple this week postponed because of COVID tests in both programs. Steven, should they be playing Ohio State, Michigan this week? Because you'd be getting it in. Other programs are playing their rivalries. It is Thanksgiving. Or did the Big Ten do it right by keeping that at the end of the year and playing it on December 12th?
I think they did it right by keeping it at the end of the year. The only reason you have really for why it should be played this weekend, because it hasn't always been on Thanksgiving, is just so you can get that game in. And you can make that case for any of the weeks prior since the Big Ten season has started. So, no, I think they did the right thing. You take that chance that the game might get canceled, which is hopefully that doesn't happen. But they did the right thing by keeping the tradition and making it the last game of the year.
I mean, I think if you were worried about scheduling it to get it in, you would have put it week one, which is what I had advocated for. Is making the most sense. It's like that's what definitely gets the game in. But if you're not going to put it week one, I would just put it week 12 and hope for the best. Week eight, I suppose. Sorry, not week 12.
So Alabama is playing Auburn this week, and then Alabama is playing Arkansas at Arkansas the next week. And then the December 12th weekend is actually sort of like an off weekend, like a makeup weekend for the SEC because they had more flexibility in their schedule than the Big Ten did. Did Auburn and Alabama do it wrong? The fact that Alabama is going to play Auburn, it's the Iron Bowl, here we go. And then it's like, oh yeah, we got to go to Arkansas next week. Is that wrong then?
Well, I think what the interesting thing is there is that's a model that the Big Ten originally was going to use as far as having that gap week. There, I think when you do that and you leave that week for makeup games or whatever, which is where, for instance, Ohio State could be playing Maryland in that week for this year, then I don't know that it matters if you move that, if where you put the rivalry game, because there could be a game after it anyway. You're already putting yourself in a situation where it might not be the last game. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think there's a wrong way to do it this year. I think you just got to find a way to get. I think the Big Ten was right for keeping that rivalry game on the last week of the year, but I also don't have a problem with Alabama having that rivalry game be the second to the last game of the year either. Given the situation you're in right now, I don't think there's a wrong way to go about this.
I do think there's that is an interesting distinction that Nathan made because, for instance, Alabama. is going to play that makeup weekend because their game against LSU was postponed. So Alabama actually has two games left because LSU a couple weeks ago, that game didn't happen. So I do think if you're in a world where you were leaving a weekend sort of at the end of the regular season as a makeup weekend, you were risking that your rivalry game wouldn't be the last week anyway, which is what you're saying, Nathan. So then maybe tie it to the date and you keep some tradition with the date, which is Thanksgiving, rather than the tradition of the end of the year, because you might not get the end of the year. The Big Ten with no flexibility, it's like, okay, well, there's no makeups afterward. If we schedule Ohio State, Michigan for the last game of the year, it's going to be the last game of the regular season unless it's not played. So I do think actually it probably makes sense for both, for instance, the SEC and the Big Ten, given the way they made their schedules, probably both did it right, that they held on the tradition the best way they could. And in the end, it's got to give credit. I mean, I don't think the SEC has handled COVID the best, but I do think the SEC handled the schedule the best. And so we have seen a rash. Listen, we saw 4 out of 7 SEC games a couple weeks ago were postponed, but they, for the most part, were postponed because they have these makeup weekends built in. And on the weekend of December 12th, when Ohio State's playing Michigan, in the last game of the regular season, the SEC is going to be making up a bunch of stuff, and Wisconsin's not going to be making anything up. Ohio State, Maryland's not getting made up. And that's just, I don't think that's a terrible, horrible thing by the Big Ten that it worked out that way, but it is, the SEC wound up having some nice flexibility there. All right. So everybody watch the Egg Bowl. I wouldn't watch the Egg Bowl. I mean,
it's called the Egg Bowl.
I just can't imagine. I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch. I know it's Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach. I don't want to watch it. I don't have to watch it, do I?
I mean,
do I have to watch it? I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it.
I mean, when is the last time that the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry has had a moment like a game being decided by a guy doing a touchdown celebration where he mimics a dog peeing on the field?
That was awesome.
I'm old. I don't like that. I don't like that. Don't do that. I don't like dogs. I don't like peeing. I mean, I like,
you don't like dogs. You
no, don't like, which don't of those statements is more controversial?
No.
Can we put out that poll?
Wait, which is these... the fact that one you have a dog and the other one is for your own health?
No, I say, and I'm old, so I pee all the time. So I like dogs. I like peeing. I don't like when humans mimic the act of dogs peeing. Is that? No. I think I maybe have expressed myself better on that topic at this point. Okay. We'll come back, start with our Big Ten picks next on Buckeye Talk. Back on Buckeye Talk, I do want to talk about one game that I am interested in on Friday, and I think a lot of Ohio State fans are interested in this game. North Carolina, Notre Dame is a Friday game. It is a 3:30 start on ABC. North Carolina, number 19, Notre Dame, number 2. I sort of said it in passing, I think, on the podcast last night. That's at North Carolina. It is, I think, like around a field goal game. That just feels like the kind of thing that is 4.5 right now. Okay. That could muck things up. Steven, how interesting do you think that game is, and how realistic is it that Notre Dame could lose?
I think it's pretty realistic. Sam Howell's, as we talked about on the Wednesday podcast, he's probably number 6 on that list, but he's going to finish in the top 10 of the Heisman voting when it's all said and done. So North Carolina's lost some games, but that's still a quality team. And he's the best quarterback in that game, even if Notre Dame is the best team. And sometimes if you have the better quarterback, you can pull off an upset.
And he's the best quarterback that Notre Dame has faced because they have not faced Trevor Lawrence. And that is not a shot at DJ Uiagalelei, but that guy's a freshman. You're taking DJ Uiagalelei over Sam Howell, the guy that like you touted for the Heisman?
No, that's it. That's our argument over semantics. One, the more talented one versus who's the better one right now. That's a different conversation for another day that we don't need to get into right now.
Yeah, a guy who's played like 20 college games instead of 2, I would take. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Sam Howell will be able to do some things. And the DJ played great, obviously, against Notre Dame, but I just think Notre Dame's going to get tested there. Nathan, do you agree that at least has a chance to get sideways for the Fighting Irish?
Definitely, because North Carolina is just putting up tons and tons and tons of points right now. Now, sometimes they have to. I mean, they had a game against Wake Forest that they won like 57-53 or something like that. Like, they're a team that has to score a lot of points because they don't defend especially well. But I kind of agree with Steven that when you've got a team that's that prolific, sometimes that can be the foundation of how these upsets get sprung. I mean, let's just look at Indiana, a team that could just could wing it around, and that helps you close gaps in the second half, where it gives you it just kind of always has you within arm's length that you can put up those kind of points. But I do think though that Notre Dame's defense has been pretty tough, and that's been pretty consistent all season, even early in the year where they weren't scoring a lot of points, they're winning because of their defense. So that's it makes me think that they might be able to hold off this upset bid. But the person who likes chaos in me is kind of rooting for an upset just because of what it means for the playoff and kind of, you know, throwing a wrench in this thing that seems to be setting up maybe as being in concrete unless somebody gets upset.
To that point, the last 2 weeks they've played quality quarterbacks. They've given up 40 points and 31 points.
Notre Dame has.
Yep. And before that, they were 13, 3, 7, shutout 13.
Who were the quality quarterbacks?
Well, but the 40 points they gave up was to Clemson in double overtime in a game where they scored 47. So again, that almost a game that example almost makes me think again that they'd be able to handle North Carolina.
And then Boston College's quarterback, I forget his name, but he's a Notre Dame transfer.
Phil Jankovic.
Former top 100 guy.
I saw that guy at a Elite 11 camp at a time when we thought he might be in the mix for Ohio State, and then he like went to Notre Dame the next day. Okay, let's talk about betting lines and this reference. We don't have him on with us this week because of Thanksgiving, but our friend Tyler Shoemaker, the officially unofficial official bookmaker of Buckeye Talk. And in passing, I referenced the idea that, hey, you know, Tishu really liked, thought the line should have been larger for Ohio State versus Indiana. He thought the line should have been larger for Wisconsin against Northwestern, and in both games, the underdog was the pick in those games. Indiana to cover, and Northwestern has only a 7-point underdog won outright. And I didn't mean anything by it. I like Tishu. Tishu's given us like good content for free. He's been a loyal tech subscriber and a loyal Buckeye Talk listener. So I did not mean anything by it, but I also respect the fact that Tyler Shoemaker came back hard on Twitter, calling me out for throwing any even accidental sort of didn't really mean it shade. So we had a little exchange with Tyler Shoemaker, and I think we just want to back up the fact that our officially unofficial official bookmaker of Buckeye Talk is pretty darn good. What happened with Tishu on Twitter this week, Nathan?
So he informed us that his record since 2019 is he's won 63% of his games, 163, 97, and 4, which is crazy to pick that many games and only have 4 pushes. And then in 2020 so far, 61%, 97, and 63. And even last week, still 55%. Which, as he points out, is kind of what professional bettors are aspiring to. Like, maybe if you can get to that 55 to 60% range, then you're in pretty good shape. So yeah, he was able to back up. You know, we were just joking around, being like, "Who? You know, we're believing what this guy's telling us. Like, what credentials does he have? Well, here's some credentials." Though again, now he has to show us the math. He has to show us like the week by week results of how he came up with these numbers, right? To prove it, he could just be making these numbers up too.
No, he says he tweets his picks every week. He says the
That's true, he
receipts are
does,
out
yeah.
there on Twitter. So I believe Tishu. And also, it is one of those things. It's like, hey, Mr. Gambler Guy, how come you don't get every game right? And it's like, what are you talking about? People lose their houses doing this thing. So, like, being 55, 60% successful is like unbelievably good. So, did not mean anything by it. Tishu, respect the work. Appreciate what you do for Buckeye Talk. Not on this week. We certainly will have him on in the next couple of weeks, especially when we get to that Ohio State Michigan game, when they actually are going to play it on December 12th. So let's talk about some of the non-Ohio State games. I always say, oh, let's do the Ohio State pick first and get it out of the way. We don't want to tease people. We're doing it last this week. So let's go through the other Big Ten games. I got them written down and see who's picking what. The Friday game is Nebraska at Iowa. That started off as a 12-point line, Iowa favored by 12. It now has moved to 13 and a half. Nebraska laid an egg last week as a more than 2-touchdown favorite loss to Illinois. Anybody taking the Hawkeyes or the Cornhuskers in this one?
I am taking the Hawkeyes. There were a couple games that I was really on the fence about, and this is the one that I decided to take. mostly just because they're playing really well right now, and they're doing it by putting up a lot of points. It's not like they're just like scraping by in defensive struggles. I mean, they put up 41 against Penn State last week. They're able to, so that makes me think that they could score enough that a 14 point spread is not too large to expect for them. But they're playing really well.
Nebraska's pretty stinking bad.
Not. Yeah,
Nebraska's pretty stinking
it's
bad.
More of that.
Did you think of this one at all, Steven?
I did. That's why I took Iowa as well. It's more because Nebraska is not good at all. I just, if Iowa scores 21 points or 24 points, that might be enough to satisfy this line. So yeah, I also took this one.
It's weird. There's a lot of big numbers this week in like a weird conference. I think looking at this every game, and the Wisconsin Minnesota line was 21 before it was canceled. That was Wisconsin by 21. Yeah. Every game this week is at least 12 except Penn State, Michigan. And so we'll go to that next. It's Penn State at Michigan. It started off as Michigan minus 4. It's now Michigan minus 2. Is anybody taking this game?
Stay as far away as possible from this one. This line would make sense even if they had if this was a normal situation where Penn State and Michigan were as good as we thought they were going to be. So either way, I wouldn't have taken this. I don't know what to make of either one of these teams. I stayed away from this.
Nathan, we talked about this a little bit. You're also staying away.
This is one of the games that I was on the fence on, and I think I'm going to stay away. But I really thought about taking Penn State.
All right, I'm going to take Michigan because sort of what we talked about earlier, is it possible Penn State is Penn State? I don't know what's going to change Penn State. Did Michigan find something in the second half with Cade McNamara? And can they win by a touchdown? Can Michigan beat this bedraggled Penn State team by a touchdown? And can Michigan maybe show that there's a little more life to their season than there is to Penn State season? I think that's possible. So I don't think either are particularly good. It just feels like the air has been even, I mean, I can't believe it's like you're basing it on that thrilling double overtime or triple overtime win at Rutgers turned around Michigan's season. I don't think it actually turned around Michigan's season, but I think they might have a little more juice. Penn State, I don't know what happened. It feels like a lost year. And if you're a Penn State guy and you thought you were going to be really good, frankly, it's almost also like the Michigan players are a little bit more accustomed to disappointment. Penn State has just been like really good for the most part the last couple of years. And like last year, it's just one of the most amazing stats you'll ever find. Penn State started 8-0 last year. They're 0-5 this year. That is amazing. And I just would find it hard for those Penn State guys to sort of like, okay, can you get up to get your first win? It's like, what? What? I just feel like maybe they'll be more dead. So I will take Michigan, giving only 2 at this point. So if Michigan wins by a field goal, they got it. So I feel actually pretty decent about that. Let's go to Maryland at Indiana. That started off as Indiana favored by 15. It's now down to 12. I feel like there is some bounce back potential. I mean, not bounce back necessarily, but Maryland hasn't played in 2 weeks. Are they going to be rusty or rested? And Indiana just like played really well against Ohio State, but didn't get what they wanted. So I don't know. Will there be a letdown for Indiana off a game like off Ohio State? Or will they be like motivated? Like, hey, last week we were close. Let's keep showing people who we are. We're number 12 in the first playoff ranking. Steven, are you getting near this Indiana Maryland game?
I didn't. And the reason why is Maryland can put up some points, just like Indiana showed last week that they can put up some points. And so I think this might end up being a shootout. And so that line, 12 and a half is just too high.
That makes sense to me. Nathan, you touching this?
I am taking the Hoosiers. After what we saw from them last week, I think that they can cause Maryland enough problems. I mean, Maryland has put up some points, but I mean, they're putting it up against teams that aren't doing what Indiana's doing. So I don't think 12 is too much for that. A game in Bloomington. I think this is the Hoosiers game. I think they can win this by 2 touchdowns.
That means Nathan Barrett has used up his 2 non-Ohio State picks before we got to the game that I was sure you were going to take this week. I think you might be pulling back on one of these picks once we talk about this game. Rutgers at Purdue. Started off Purdue favored by 13. It's down to Purdue favored by 12. Talk about a team with a burr in its saddle. It's like, okay, Purdue, you let the refs kind of take that last one away from you. This feels like, again, Rondale Moore is back. David Bell is good. Rutgers is, I think, doing it a little bit with smoke and mirrors. The offense that Purdue's going to put on the field is a better offense than that Michigan offense, right? I mean, I don't know. Nobody would dispute that. Now, and I know why Nathan didn't pick it, because George Karloftis has COVID. The best Purdue defensive player is out for this game. But I still feel like this is one of those games where Rutgers is still Rutgers, as all the credit in the world for the way Greg Schiano has those guys playing this year. From a talent level, they still don't have guys anywhere close to Rondale Moore and David Bell. I feel like this is a Jeff Brohm uses the way last week's game ended to motivate these dudes. I'm taking Purdue minus 12 in this one, home against Rutgers. Steven, you taking that too?
I did not, because one I've already used at one of my picks, and I thought about going using one of them for this, but it's because there is an easier game that's still on the list to come. That's my decision.
Nathan, did you not pick this because Karloftis is out?
That was a factor. And then also just from watching Purdue last week, without Karloftis, I have big questions about this defense. Even with him last week, Minnesota was able to move the ball a lot, score a lot of points. I know Rutgers is challenged in that regard, but we've also seen that they've been able to be creative and throw some things at teams that they're maybe not expecting. So I'm just a little bit unwary about where Purdue sits right now. I know that's odd because I've been picking them, including I think I even picked them 1 week when they had some other guys out. But Rutgers has some fight, and on a weird week like this, I don't discount that they could come in and at least keep it close.
All right, so that leaves only one other game to pick other than the Buckeyes, so we know Steven Means is picking this, and I am not, and I'll explain why I'm not. It's Northwestern at Michigan State. Northwestern started off favored by 9. Northwestern now favored by 13.5, so that line has moved a lot. This is the number 8 team in the college football playoff rankings. Steven Means, you're taking this game. Which side are you on?
Northwestern. Michigan State scored 7 points in their last 8 quarters, and they've got a rough stretch here with Indiana and Northwestern this week and Ohio State the following week. That's kind of rough, but Michigan State is just incompetent, and I think this is – Northwestern doesn't put up a crazy amount of points, but Michigan State doesn't put up any points against top 10 teams, as we've already seen. So I expect more of that this week.
Who would have thought, looking at a schedule before the season, you're like, oh, man – that Indiana, Northwestern, Ohio State stretch, that's going to kill us. The reason that I stayed away from this is because if I had picked this game, I would have taken the other side. This, to me, is a little bit sort of classic Northwestern, or teams that often don't have expectations. And I feel like Northwestern, when they don't have expectations, they do well. Now, all of a sudden, they have a pathway, a clear path to the Big Ten championship game. They're in the top 10 in the college football playoff rankings. They are like respected, and to now like go to Michigan State and win like 20-17 feels exactly right to me. I don't think Northwestern will lose this game. Michigan State is weird. I took Michigan State getting 2 touchdowns earlier this year against Iowa, and they lost by 45. It wasn't even a game. So I think Steven, you very well may be right here, but just given sort of the sometimes a program like Northwestern, once you put some stuff on them, then it's like, oh, wait, like we're good now. Where last week, you know, they're an underdog. Nobody thought they were going to beat Wisconsin, and they played great. Now I think they might be coming down the other side of the mountain a little bit. I think if I were picking a score for this game, I think I would pick something like 20-14, 21-17. Covering almost 2 touchdowns for, as you said, Steven, Michigan State's offense is horrible. I think if Michigan State scores 14, they might start getting in the range of like, is it tough for Northwestern to cover this number? So I stayed away, and I'll be very curious to see how it plays out. If Northwestern comes out and wins this game like 31-0, man, that is like another level of they deserve a lot of respect right now for beating Wisconsin. But if they follow that up with kind of a dominating game, even though the opponent's terrible, if they come out and dominate, that's really going to show me something. I'm just not sure they're going to do it.
You also got to remember Michigan State didn't play last week, so they might have the rust arrest theory. And when you're already not talented, I think you slide more on the rust side of that than rest.
Mel Tucker, baby. Mel Tucker had an extra 7 days to motivate Although he's motivating Rocky Lombardi and the rest of the crew over there. So, yeah, I mean, you very well may be right. You very well may be right. So I'm not going against it. I decided I almost was going to pick it, but I feel better about Purdue and I feel better about Michigan. So I stayed away from it. All right. Last quick break. We'll come back with our picks for Ohio State versus Illinois. You're listening to the Friday Picks and Preview Pod on Buckeye Talk. Back on Buckeye Talk, Ohio State opened as a 30-point favorite down to 28.5. Is that the line we agree on? That's what I looked at right before we got on the pod here. 28.5. Ohio State has dominated this rivalry recently. These teams haven't played since 2017. The last 5 years, basically the Urban Meyer era, Urban took it to Illinois. Won by 38, 25, 39, 25, and 30. So those are big numbers. If you're looking for a kind of Ohio State cover this 28.5, they would have covered the 28.5 three of the last five times. The lowest margin of victory was 25. I'll still remember the year, the lost year of 2011 when they went to Illinois and the wind was blowing and it was like practically impossible to complete a pass. And Ohio State won 17-7, one of the weirdest games you'll ever watch in your life. So it feels like Illinois has got some troubles here. And it feels like this might be a game for Ohio State, especially the way the playoff rankings went, to sort of show everybody who they are. Nathan, we'll start with you. What's your pick in this game?
So I had to make my pick kind of early this week, unless I wanted to have like multiple picks out there. But because Illinois, the News Gazette asked me to do a thing the beat writers do for each other sometimes, and
local
so I had
boy
to put my name on
get
it.
Baird in the paper. Look at that, Nathan.
Former Salt Fork Storm third baseman Nathan Baird. So I went 51-13 Ohio State. I actually think that the only reason I don't think I'm picking a score that low for Ohio State, although that doesn't seem like that low, I guess. I feel like, you know, Illinois can move the ball on the ground. I feel like that maybe it just. They can keep the ball away from Ohio State a couple of possessions more than they normally would. But in general, I feel like this is a game where Ohio State comes out and really puts it to them. Cause I feel like they feel like, you know, for any number of reasons, I feel like this is sort of a statement week for Ohio State a little bit. They need to kind of get their mojo back. I think it comes at the expense of the Illini.
All right. So you're pretty confident giving up the 28.5 here.
Yeah.
Steven.
60-17. I think Illinois might score.
Say it again.
Points.
You blipped out a little again. I'll cut this. Just right when you started, it blipped out. We couldn't hear the first number. Go ahead and start again.
60-17, Ohio State wins. I think Illinois will put some points up on the board because, as we've seen with Ohio State's defense, they tend to give up some big plays that Illinois might be able to take advantage of sometimes. But also, yeah, I think Justin Fields especially has a point to prove this week. I think he spent his entire week listening to everybody call him mortal after being godlike almost the first couple of weeks of the seasons. And I think he wants to kind of prove a point and put himself back at that number one spot in the Heisman race. And he doesn't have to force it to do it because he's not playing a team like Indiana.
I know what that's like. People think you're a god and then all of a sudden they think you're mortal. It is really hard. It is really hard to deal with. I've gone through it many times.
I bet.
In my professional and personal life. I have a hard time imagining Ohio State not covering this. So I have 56-21, which is allowing for some defensive goof-ups because I'm sort of expecting some degree of experimentation possibly with some of this stuff, right? I'm expecting some, hey, well, we tried this guy. Okay, maybe it's better, but maybe it was bumpy on the way to better. And that's still a 35-point win. You know, like I don't know. It would be hard for me to believe that this is going to be like 49-28 or something, you know, that like, oh, they just or whatever. So it's dangerous. Please don't listen to us. Please don't. I mean, really, I don't. What can we say? But I also think Ryan Day is probably emphasizing this whole when we get a lead, let's not give it all back kind of thing, whether it was the Rutgers way or whether it was the Indiana way, because they're losing some ground with the committee. Which again is an important thing that it changes college football a little bit. That there used to be the era. I mean, it was the era for the most of history of. I mean, it's the way that it is in the NFL and has been most of the time in college football. Is we won, didn't we? We won. You just say we won. It's like, well, yeah, but not honestly anymore. Not every win is created equal. How good did you look? Did you play for 60 minutes? How good was your opponent? That all matters because, as objective as this sport, it is at the highest level. It is now also subjective, as Nathan said at the start. You know, it's not only an objective thing. So they've got to win this week, but they've also got to look good. So I think they will look good, and it just feels like Illinois is in the wrong spot in the schedule for this, right? That it's almost one of those, if Ohio State was coming off a 63-14 win over Indiana, then maybe you'd think about, oh, do you take the points with Illinois because Ohio State's flying high and they're full of themselves and they think they're perfect. But coming off the way last week went, like, sounds weird. Only four scores almost seems low to me. And I'm a little surprised, Nathan, that this line has moved the way it's moved, that it started at 30 and it's down to 28.5. If you told me this had started at 30 and moved to 34, I wouldn't have been surprised by that.
I think there may be some respect out there for Illinois. The fact they've won two games in a row, they do run the ball well. The thing is, like, that's actually the one thing, though, that Ohio State's defense has done, I think, consistently well. It wasn't just the Indiana game. Go back and look at the Penn State game. I think they held them to 44 yards on the ground. They've been a really good pass or a good run defense. And I think the difference between Illinois and Indiana, well, there's a lot of differences, but one of the big differences is, I think once you make Illinois one-dimensional, you don't have Michael Penix back there firing off his cannon. You've got Brandon Peters back there, and I think that plays into Ohio State's hands. You can't beat Ohio State with mediocre quarterbacks. You can't.
And it's going to be very interesting to see what this pass rush, and we spent a lot of time on it on the big Wednesday pod, what this Ohio State pass rush looks like when they're rushing a quarterback that's not Michael Penix, that's not a guy with ice in his veins and a big arm who puts balls on guys' hands. You know, this might be one of those games where, like, Ohio State gets home like seven times. And it's like, oh, yeah, I remember everybody was talking about how's their pass rush? Is it good or not? It's like, oh, yeah, oh, cool. Jonathan Cooper had 2.5 sacks, and Tyreek Smith had 2 sacks, and Tommy Tokihi had 2 sacks. You know, I think that's out there too. So, all right, we all got Ohio State given the points. So, again, stay away. Just enjoy the game as a fan. We'll see what happens. Notre Dame, if you're an Ohio State fan, 3:30 Friday, I'd watch that. That has some effect on Ohio State. Just make things that, you know, when your team's in the playoff hunt, you want to root for, like, everybody else in the hunt to lose. So this is an interesting game for Notre Dame. It's not the end of the world for Ohio State if Notre Dame keeps winning, but it would open up some doors and some maneuverability potentially if Notre Dame would lose. So we'll be having a post-game podcast after the game Saturday, noon kickoff in Champaign. Is the stadium, Nathan, as a native of the state, is the stadium technically in Champaign or Urbana? It's in Champaign, right?
I believe technically it is in Champaign, but it's very much having lived in West Lafayette, there's a river down the middle. It's very divided. Champaign Urbana to me is just it. There's no border. It's just a big mess of corn and folks.
What was it like? Was there a great, I mean, the divide of the river, would people come down to the river in Lafayette, between Lafayette and West Lafayette, and, like, shout things at each other?
Yeah, just shake their fists at the other side.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. If you're from there, it's like a big deal, like, which side of the river you're on. Like, I don't go across the river. I don't go into Lafayette with the – or whatever. But if you're not from there, you didn't care.
Interesting, which means that no one listening to this cares. If someone exactly. listen, if someone, if these words are hitting your ears and you grew up in Lafayette or West Lafayette and you have an opinion on the battle over the river, please let us know. Other than that, that was a wasted 40 seconds of your life. Come back. We'll catch on the post-game pod. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. For Nathan and Steven, I'm Doug. And that was Buckeye Talk.